evening, everyone. This is Arnold Dean. Tonight, the music of Tommy Dorsey and an interview with the brilliant composer, arranger, vocalist, trumpet player, Cy Oliver. Welcome to a one-night stand with the big bands, to be brought to you by the Glastonbury Buckboard, famous for its chuck wagon-style steaks, conveniently located just off the Putnam Bridge in Glastonbury. And by Russo Chevrolet, who ask you to drive in and help them clear the floor for 74. Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks. We first interviewed Cy Oliver on this program well over a year ago at his Manhattan apartment. He had a bit of a cold at the time as we reminisced first about the Jimmy Lunsford Band. What a fabulous and flamboyant outfit that was. We did a two-part series on a one-night stand with the big bands about the Lunsford Band as a result of that interview. But then with Cy, we went on to the subject of Tommy Dorsey and his extremely versatile band. To give you a bit of the early background about the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, by the time T.D. was 16, he and his brother Jimmy were leading their own band, a group called Dorsey's Wild Canaries, which lasted out the summer season of about 1922 at a Baltimore amusement park. But right after that, they got their big break when they joined the Goldkett Band. Jimmy was there first, and he got Goldkett to hire the man he affectionately referred to as the brother. In Goldkett's band, of course, they played alongside Bix Beiderbecke, Frankie Trumbauer, Joe Venuti, Eddie Lang, and those other fabulous musicians. When Goldkett gave up the band in 1927, Paul Whiteman scooped up most of the stars, including the Dorseys, and they stayed with him for several years. But in 1934, the Dorsey brothers went off on their own and formed their own Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. Then you remember the famous story of the breakup in 1935, and the brothers went their separate ways. Jimmy retained what had been the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. Tommy took over most of a band that Joe Hames had been leading. In its early days, Tommy's band continued with a slightly Dixielandish style that had typified the Dorsey Brothers Orchestra. But his band really gained an extreme identity when he hired Cy Oliver, and that's where we'll resume with our interview in just a moment.
If you're thinking first class, the place to go is Russo Chevrolet. Russo is the place to turn for professional concern. When you're looking for a new or used car, it's first class at Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
You have only two more weeks before the brand new 74s begin arriving at Russo Chevrolet, so why not visit Russo soon and help them clear the floor for 74? Great savings are available now on new and executive model 73 Chevys. Save big during Garage Sale USA at Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks.
First class with Russo Chevrolet.
Now let's continue our conversation with Cy Oliver. And Cy, the one thing that we really recall about your early life is that you were devoted to education. And every time you planned to resume your formal education, another musical opportunity seemed to present itself. But you were obstinate. You still planned to go back to school.
You know, it's very strange. I left Jimmy's band for the same reason. I left Jimmy's band. We were playing Brighton Beach in Brooklyn. I put in my notice that night, and it happened that Bobby Burns, who was Tommy Dorsey's road manager, was there that night. And the fellas all knew him, of course. Well, Tommy had approached me many times to make arrangements for the band, for his band. And Burns, as I say, was there that night. The fellas told him, I just put in my notice. He offered to drive me back to New York. And on the way back, he talked me into stopping by to see Tommy. They were working the Pennsylvania Roof at the time. I was tired of the road. I'd been with the band for 6 years, and I wouldn't have left the band to go with another band because I'd put a lot into the band. As you know, I'd done a lot of writing for it. And so I got offers from Dorsey, Glenn Miller. I even did some things for Paul Whiteman. I was going to make a change long before I did, but I quit to go to school again. I stopped to go back to school. go back to school. I hadn't been to school yet. And I walked into Tommy's room at the hotel that night. And Tommy, when I walked in, before he said hello, he said, "Whatever Lunsford paid you last year for playing and arranging, I'll pay you $5,000 a year more."
Let's listen to some Tommy Dorsey from the year 1938. A Dean Kincaid arrangement of Boogie Woogie, one of the biggest TD hits of all time. If you enjoy these unforgettable sounds of that fabulous era of the big bands, you probably get the urge to do something more than just listen. Like dance a little, maybe. Like swing and sway with old Sammy Kay. Or waltz a bit with Wayne King. Jump to Count Basie. Dance your heart out to Mood Indigo a la the Duke. It can happen, you know, and soon, too. As a matter of fact, starting September 26th and every Wednesday evening thereafter, Glastonbury Buckboard's Shivery Room will feature the song styles of all the big bands, authentically rendered by Al Gentile and his orchestra. For just $9.95 per person, including tip and tax, enjoy a delicious buffet dinner from 7:30 to 8:30 in the Shivery Room. Then from 9 to 1, dance the night away. Yes, the age of swing is back, and it's all yours at the Glastonbury Buckboard every Wednesday evening. Reservations are a must. So please call Glastonbury Buckboard at 633-5225. That's 633-5225. Now let's resume with our conversation with Cy Oliver. And Cy, let's get to that long and that fantastically productive era that you spent with Tommy Dorsey's orchestra. TD, the band that I consider the most versatile of all the big bands.
Well, Tommy's band occupied the same place in the spectrum, in the white spectrum, as Jimmy's did in the Negro section. he wasn't typed. He played melodic music and he played some rhythmic music. But we had some difficulty when I first joined the band due to the fact that Dorsey's band was Dixieland oriented, if you remember at the time. He'd been recording things like Boogie Woogie and those things, which later became a big hit. I joined the band and I wrote for the band, and they didn't play the things very well because it was a completely different attack from what they were accustomed to, and I made no effort to adjust to them because that wasn't why I was there. He wanted the band to play like I wrote, not me write like the band played. He wanted a swing band. A band that he later had when he, Buddy Rich, you know, things like Well Get It and those things, and the band really began to swing. He was trying to get away from the Dixieland idiom. I, of course, felt that it wouldn't work. And in fact, it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked at all. And I heard the broadcast one night. I'd done the thing on When You and I Were Young, Maggie. And I got up out of bed, put my clothes on, and went down, walked on the bandstand. The bandstand was quite high. It was elevated from the floor. Pulled on Tommy's trousers leg till I got his attention. I said, I quit. And started out. Tommy said to Edith Wright, who was singing with the band at the time, catch him, tell him to wait a minute. Edith called me out at the elevator bank. He said, wait, wait till they come off and talk to Tommy. Don't walk out like that. So I waited. And as usual, he didn't give me a chance to say anything. He was a pretty shrewd guy. He said, sign out before you say anything. He said, I know you heard the broadcast. He said, well, before you say anything, I told you when you came with the band that these fellas weren't going to be able to play like Lunsford's band, and you shouldn't expect it. And he said, just give me a little time. He said, if they don't pick up on it, I will get the musicians who can. A year later, there were two men in the band that were in the band when I joined.
Wow.
Freddie Stolson and Dave Jacobs, a trombone player. Changed the whole band.
Let's listen to the way the band sounded in 1942 in one of its broadcast recordings.
And now it's time for the Dorsey Band again. And here's one for you. Let's jump to Well Get It. Well.
How do you do your arrangements? Does the idea come into your head and then you take it by section? How do you put it down on paper?
Well, there really is no way to describe writing. Any creative work is largely intuition. And no two times do you go about it the same way. There's no hard and fast rules. Each arrangement presents its own unique problem. It just depends on what you're doing. Sometimes you think of a thing for no reason and write it and it becomes something quite successful. Mm-hmm. One of the most successful things that I ever wrote was a thing called Opus 1, which I did for Tommy Dorsey. Well, you know how that arrangement came into being? Tommy added strings to the band. You know, back in those days, just five, this was just about the time of the World War. I joined Dorsey in 39. I think I wrote that thing about 40, 41. Just before I went into the Army. And I had made an arrangement. He added the strings, and I made an arrangement for this, including the violins, on Jersey Bounce, which was quite popular at the time. Well, I don't know whether you are aware of it or not, but violins simply do not swing as a section. They are not for swing. And in order to use them successfully, you have to be very careful with them. The best thing you can do is play a sustained background, which is what they did all through Opus 1, as you remember. They played a melodic line, but it was simply a sustained background. The band was swinging, just kept the violins out of the way. But they did add color and sound. You know, it was pretty as well as rhythmic. So the format worked. The arrangement worked. It was a very successful arrangement. But somebody else had a hit record on Jersey Bounce at the time. I believe it was Goodman, if I'm not mistaken. And right. Dorsey, of course, didn't want to record that. So I took the same arrangement, that is the same format, the same introduction. Well, it wasn't the same introduction. I did change the introduction. But the melodic line behind the unison saxophones and so on, the format of the arrangement I made on Jersey Bounce, I used in Opus 1 and simply changed the melody.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, that's how that arrangement came into being. Now, I would probably never do, I never had done it before, and probably never do it again.
You're listening to an interview with Cy Oliver on a one-night stand with the big bands featuring the music of Tommy Dorsey. This is Arnold Dane, and tonight's program is being brought to you by Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, and by the Glastonbury Buckboard just off the Putnam Bridge in Glastonbury.
If you're thinking first class, the place to go is Russo Chevrolet. Russo is the place to turn for professional concern when you're looking for a new or used car. It's first class at Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
You have only two more weeks before the brand new 74s begin arriving at Russo Chevrolet, so why not visit Russo soon and help them clear the floor for 74? Great savings are available now on new and executive model 73 Chevys. Save big during Garage Sale USA at Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
Let's talk about some of those early arrangements, if we may, with the Dorsey Band. We talked some before about Opus Number 1. Another one that I didn't realize this was one of your arrangements. Normally you can spot Cy Oliver arrangements, but this one I didn't realize was yours, Sunny Side of the Street.
Yes, I did that too. Mm-hmm. That was one of Dorsey's biggest records.
It certainly was, yeah. It had an interesting introduction with the baritone sax. And
that's what first got... this is funny too. We were in Chicago, and I had flown out to rehearse something. And Tommy was Lee had turned the band over to me for rehearsal and was leaving, and he was halfway out of the place. Up, he was walking across the dance hall. It was large, but you remember how the tremendous ballroom used to be years ago. He was halfway through, and I hit an introduction. He dropped his coat. What was that?
Yeah.
It was startling.
Yeah.
And he didn't leave. He came back to rehearse the thing to hear it.
Get hip, don't feel afraid. Move it out
If you enjoy these unforgettable sounds of the fabulous era of the big bands, you probably get the urge to do something more than just listen, like dance a little maybe, like swing and sway with Sammy Kaye or waltz a bit with Wayne King, jump to Count Basie, dance your heart out a la Duke. It can happen, you know, and soon, too. As a matter of fact, starting September 26th and every Wednesday evening thereafter, Glastonbury Buckboard's Chivalry Room will feature the song styles of all the big bands, authentically rendered by Al Gentile and his orchestra. For just $9.95 per person, including tip and tax, enjoy a delicious buffet dinner from 7:30 to 8:30 in the Chivalry Room, then from 9 to 1, dance the night away. Yes, the age of swing is back, and it's all yours at the Glastonbury Buckboard every Wednesday evening. Reservations are a must.
Making with jive, boy, you shout when it hits you.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes. Yes, you shout when it hits you.
Yes, indeed.
When the spirit moves you, you shout hallelujah.
I mean,
when it hits you, you holler.
Yes, indeed. Gee, I think that's a great number.
Yeah, that has a funny story, too. I mentioned Mose Allen, the bass player with the Munster Band. Well, Mose used to do a takeoff on the old Holy Roller Preachers. You know, he had a real funny thing he used to do. He used to do it on a bus all the time. And I decided to write an act for him to do it in the theaters with us, you know. And I wrote Yes Indeed as a theme for his act. And Lunsford wouldn't play it because he said it was sacrilegious. That was before people began playing all kinds of music and rhythm, you know. Well, now, I didn't write it with any idea of it being sacrilegious. It does sound kind of hymnish, but it really isn't. There's nothing sacrilegious about the lyric, but Lunsford wouldn't do it. So I wasn't concerned about it. My main concern was the fact that Mose, we used to call him Father. Father Allen didn't get to do his act. I thought it would have been very effective. Well, Stan goes without saying, if he wouldn't play Yes Indeed, he wouldn't have let Mose do that act. You know? However, many years later, we were in Hollywood. Dorsey was doing a movie, and Bing Crosby was doing Road to Zanzibar at the time, he and Bob Hope. And we were in Bing's dressing room one night, Tommy and I. You know, Tommy and Bing had worked together in Paul Whiteman's band. Well, Bing used to do all of his, he never did his recordings direct. The orchestra would record, they'd make the background track, and then he'd dub his voice in. But they brought in the opening track for The Road to Zanzibar. It was a tune called You Lucky People, You. Well, they played the background, and Bing said, oh, God, the tired tin again, you know. He didn't like the background at all. Because the guy, they didn't swing too well. And Tommy spoke up and said, well, we'll do it. We'll record it for you. Si, I'll fix it. When do you have to do it? He said, geez, I have to do the thing tomorrow morning. And Tommy said, well, Si, I can do it. I said, Tommy, it's 7 o'clock, you know. 7 o'clock at night. We've been working all day. He said, oh, you can do it. You know how he was. He just, well, anyhow, they put me in a limousine. I lived way over on the other side of Los Angeles. And took me home, and I made the arrangement, and they came out and picked it up and took it back to the copyist, and they picked me up the next morning. Oh, incidentally, the recording was for 8 o'clock the next morning. You know, everything starts early out there. Well, Bing was there to hear it. We were on the sound stage, the recording stage, and the band played it down. Now, at that time, we had Ziggy Elman, Buddy Rich, Chuck Peterson. We only used 10 men, but they were the swingingest guys in the band, and the thing was really rocking, you know, it really popped. Well, Bing was so taken with it, they rebuilt the set on the music stage so he could record direct. It took them all day to do it. Our guy sat there all day on time, getting paid by the hour, just watching them rebuild the set. And he recorded it direct on set. Well, now, that's not the story. We're talking about Yes Indeed. Well, as a result of that, Bing wanted to do something for me. He appreciated the arrangement and so on. At the time, he was doing the Kraft Music Hall. Well, to have him introduce a number on the Kraft Music Hall was tantamount to that number becoming a success. And, of course, everybody in the country was trying to get Bing to introduce their tunes on the Kraft Music Hall. So Tommy said, why don't you do something for him? And he said, do you realize what a big thing that is? And I don't have it. He said, look in your briefcase. You always have something lying around. Well, I found this copy of Yes Indeed. Well, Connie Boswell was doing the show with him at the time, and I felt that would fit them. You know, they used to like to do the Dixieland-type things, and when the Saints come marching in. So I fixed it for them. They put it on the show and lost it up, but good. It has a funny pickup in the middle, you know. Child, when it hits you, yes, indeed. When the spirit moves you. Well, they both blew that pickup, you know, so the thing got all loused up, and it was terrible. Well, the next day, we were recording, and it happened that the recording studio that was right next to Paramount Theater, the Paramount Studios. So Bing came in our recording day. He said, Si, did you hear the show last night? Well, something told me to tell the truth. I said, no, Bing, I missed it. And I did, because I was working on the stuff we were recording. He said, well, it's a good thing, because we sure blew it. Well, he kept that thing on the air for 30-some weeks. And he and Connie recorded it, and the record never got off the ground. Never got off the ground. So I fixed it for the band after Tommy. He said, well, fix it for us. And Crosby's writing it, we'll do it. And I fooled around. Finally, I fixed it for them. I told you how we happened to record it one day at the last minute. And, of course, our record came out. It was an overnight sensation.
We're talking with Si Oliver. And, Si, let's move up about 4.5 years for this next record to September of 1945, Chicago. Thank you.
Chicago.
Jackson, lace up your boots and I will show you around.
You like it?
Love it.
Bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago.
Jack Jai's really jumping. Why, Mr. Billy Sunday couldn't shut the old place down.
Folks kept going to town on State Street, that great street. I just want to say,
hey now, yes, they really, really do things
they don't do on Broadway. Say, you'll have the time of your life.
I know a man who danced with his very own wife
in Chicago.
Tommy Dorsey's orchestra playing Chicago. Incidentally, that little clarinet lick was done by Buddy DeFranco. And next month on our one-night stand with the big bands, we'll have part two of a Tommy Dorsey special. And our guest at that time will be Buddy DeFranco, bringing us up to date on the later years of the TD band. Incidentally, Cy, who was it that played the tenor lick on that number?
Well, Chicago, that was Babe Fresk.
It's kind of a lip slur.
Right, yes. Babe Fresk.
Did you write that out, or is this something
no,
that
No, I just suggested it to him. Because Babe, well, the background was kind of busy. And everyone, and if he had played a lot of notes, it would have been just too confusing, you know.
If you're thinking first class, the place to go is Russell Chevrolet. Russell is the place to turn for professional concern when you're looking for a new or used car. It's first class at Russell, Russell Chevrolet.
You have only two more weeks before the brand new 74s begin arriving at Russell Chevrolet, so why not visit Russell soon and help them clear the floor for 74? Great savings are available now on new and executive model 73 Chevys. Save big during Garage Sale USA at Russo Chevrolet across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks.
Go first class with Russo. Russo Chevrolet.
You mentioned the spiritual sound every now and then. I think Dorsey was at his best with the spiritualistic type numbers. Swanee River, I think.
Yes, Swanee River, yes. It was that's another funny thing too. I did that arrangement, of course, originally for Lunsford. But our band never really got the feel of it. That was one of the few things that I ever did for them. It never worked. They record sometimes if you have a chance, play the Lunsford's recording and then play Dorsey's recording. It's the same arrangement, but a completely different performance.
Good idea, Cy. Matter of fact, let's take the time right now. Let's listen first to the Lunsford recording of Swanee River.
Thank you.
That's Jimmy Lunsford, recorded in September of 1935 with Cy Oliver's arrangement of Swanee River. Cy, I think you'll have to agree there was a tremendous change in the music business between 1935 and 1940, a difference in tempos and in overall tonal quality, I think. Let's listen to this recording of the same arrangement of Swanee River by Tommy Dorsey, done 5 years later in October of 1940. If you enjoy these unforgettable sounds of that fabulous era of the big bands, you probably get the urge to do something more than just listen, like dance a little, maybe. Like Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay, or Waltz with the Waltz King, Wayne King, or Jump to Count Basie, or Dance Your Heart Out to things like Mood Indigo, a la the Duke. It can happen, you know, and soon, too. As a matter of fact, starting September 26th and every Wednesday evening thereafter, Glastonbury Buckboard's Chivalry Room will feature the song styles of all the big bands, authentically rendered by Al Gentile and his orchestra. For just $9.95 per person, including tip and tax, enjoy a delicious buffet dinner from 7:30 to 8:30 in the Chivalry Room. Then from 9 to 1, dance the night away. Yes, the age of swing is back, and it's all yours at the Glastonbury Buckboard every Wednesday evening. Reservations are a must, so please call Glastonbury Buckboard at 633-5225. That's 633-5225. Si, let's listen to another number which features Joe Stafford on a vocal. This is from January of 1941. It's For You, and that's one of your arrangements, isn't it?
Yes. That's one of my favorites, by the way.
Is it?
Yes.
You like good music, I'll say that.
I like simple music. If you notice, For You, you first listen to it, it sounds like it's complicated, but at no point does it depart from the melody. It's For You from beginning to end.
Uh-huh.
I find that if you keep your melody in front, you can do enough in the background to add interest without destroying the melody. It's my objective always, no matter what point during the arrangement you walk into the hall, you know what we're playing.
What a good basic philosophy that is.
I can see no point in doing exactly the same thing on Near My God that you do on Tiger Rag. Thank you.
And so it's theme time. This is Tommy Dorsey's I'm Getting Sentimental Over You. We've been listening to the music of Tommy Dorsey and our guest, arranger, vocalist, trumpeter, composer, and leader, Cy Oliver, the leader today of an immensely talented group which recreates some of the old Lunsford and TD sounds, but with the sounds of the 70s as well, and it's an immensely popular and talented group. We might also add that Cy Oliver is a brilliant conversationalist and a gentleman, and that his wife is a great cook. On our October program of A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands, we'll continue with the music of Tommy Dorsey, and our guest will be Buddy DeFranco, who, like Cy Oliver, is a veteran from the TD band who went off to great success later in his own right. So I hope you'll join us monthly for A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands on WTIC Radio. Our location engineer was Ben Zinkerman. Studio engineer was Dick French. This program was edited and produced by Brian Hartnett. A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands has been brought to you by Russo Chevrolet, across from Bradley International in Windsor Locks, who invites you to get a great deal on a brand-new 73 Chevy during Garage Sale USA, and by the Glastonbury Buckboard, famous for its chuck wagon-style steaks, conveniently located just off the Putnam Bridge in Glastonbury. Thank you for joining us on A One-Night Stand with the Big Bands. Our special thanks to guest Cy Oliver. We'll see you again in October with guest Buddy DeFranco and more of the music of Tommy Dorsey. This is Arnold Dean. Mm-hmm.